I want you to turn to Psalm 83 with me. We're going to read this psalm together tonight. And very shortly, you will understand the intent of this message tonight. Psalm 83, I'm going to begin. Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not your peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted against your hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. It's happening today. For they have consulted together with one consent. Never has it been more global. They are confederate against you. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab, the Hurghanes, and these other nations of Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. And he lists these nations and the others that joined together. And I'm just going to skip down to verse 14 or verse 13. Oh, my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burns a wood. And as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so persecute them with your tempest and make them afraid with your storm. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that you, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. I want to bring this to you tonight because I believe it is necessary, and I believe it's not only necessary, it's timely to be able to bring some clarity from the Word of God to things that are happening in our world today. I just received a text that I believe the House of Representatives passed a bill trying to bring this into the Senate against anti-Semitism in our nation. This is going on right now. There is an allegiance among the nations right now. The nations are confederate together against the Lord's people, Israel. There is confusion like never before in our country in regards to the nation of Israel, in regards to our support of Israel. There is a movement now in our nation. It's not only from the youth. The youth are being manipulated by older people, politicians, and others with an agenda that are manipulating the youth, rallying them to create disturbances in our nation. But there is a gathering together against God. And I want you to understand that what is happening in the world today does not catch God off guard. God is allowing things to happen, and he's allowing the nations to move as they are for the purpose of God setting the stage that the world may know that he is Jehovah. There's no one like him, and there's not another God. The Lord is more concerned for people to know who he is and to know that he is God than the comforts that we have traditionally been accustomed to in America. God is more concerned for the preservation of Israel than he is the United States. His name is eternally joined to Israel. It is not eternally joined to the United States or to England, or to any other nation other than Israel. God has a very special and unique relationship with Israel. Y'all pay attention over here, please. He has a unique and special relationship with Israel. And I want you to understand that in this movement today in the world, there is great deception going on. And there is a war in the minds of our generations, not one generation, not a young generation, but the generations. There's a war in that mind. And honestly, there are multitudes of people, even in our churches, and that have Bibles that really don't understand the nature of what's going on. Because of the popularity of the pro-Palestinian uprising and the anti-Israeli regard, more and more people are becoming confused as to what is happening, what should we believe, what side should we be on, even if we should choose a side at all. I do not by any means want to even give you the assumption that Israel is a nation at this point that is godly and honors the Lord. As a nation, the nation of Israel is not godly and does not have an agenda of honoring God and honoring His laws and honoring His ways. For a large portion of Israel, the people of Israel, would be, though maybe very religious, some of them extremely Zionist, a great number of them have been wrestling with atheism and paganism and things of that nature. And not to say that there is not personal people who may get out of line in their behaviors, even as Israelites. And God will deal with that. But I'm talking about the nations. And I'm talking about the uprising with the Palestinians and the Israelis. And to understand what is happening. And so this movement that is going on in the world today, it's as big in other continents as it is in this northern hemisphere. And so it's taken a big hold in the world. It has really brought a great revelation as to where humanity is. Very simply from Psalm 83, there is a cry that God will judge the nations, that God would bring shame to them. That should give us concern to pray for our nation. That we as a nation and politically at this point, there's still a chance. As far as, you know, individually or uprising or movements, I'm afraid for our nation, but politically that we would continue to stand for the people of God, Israel. And for the covenant that God made with Israel, that the blessing that is on Abraham would be upon us, and that these pronouncements in Psalm 83 would not be brought against us, against the United States, and that we would really involve ourselves in every way that we can in our civil governments, in our state government, our federal governments, contacting our representatives and our senators, and just demanding that they make a very bold and firm stand for our long relationship with the nation of Israel, and that we would continue to support them and we would continue to help them. The very fact of Israel, God's unique dealings with Israel, and the fact that Israel is here today, because I don't believe any of you have ever met a Moabite or a Hittite or an Ammonite or an Edomite. Because these were nations that were neighbors to Israel thousands of years ago in this land today that we identify as Palestine. And these nations were there surrounding Israel. They're gone. For every reason, Israel should be gone. Because the world has, on a number of occasions, sought to annihilate this nation. And to remove it from being a people. It is a demonic agenda. Satan is behind it. And if there's any people on the earth that Satan would desire to eradicate, it would be Israel, the Jews. That is his chief desire. And the reason is God has attached his name to the nation of Israel. And listen to me, the existence of the nation of Israel proves the existence of God. It proves the validity of God's word, and it proves that the Jews are God's people. It proves that. And we're going to see in some of the scriptures tonight how God defers to Israel as his witnesses. So that when you see things taking place today and maybe the spirit of confusion comes to you, or maybe you begin to be influenced by the trend in society or TikTok or social media that may have an extreme bias, at least you biblically tonight will have some information so you can be grounded in the Word of God. Not Fox News, not CNN News, not Republican, not Democrat. That's really irrelevant right now. What we want to look at is what does God say. And what are some of the historical facts and relevances of this? It's an amazing thing that a few million people in the Middle East, in an area about the size of Rhode Island, which is really, really small, just a handful of people in regards to the massive population of 8 billion people on the planet, continue to be the center of attention. Why are the Jews so important? Why are the Jews so infuriating? They're just a small group of people, but their God is so incredibly big. The God who watches over Israel is not to be trifled with. And this has been proven in history. And so there is this cry today that Israel is the colonist. Israel has gone into Gaza and Israel has colonized Palestine. And as a result of that, Israel has sent into exile Palestinians. And these Palestinians that have gone into exile are without a homeland because of Israel. And all they want is to once again be their own independent state or sovereign state. And you've certainly heard in politics the mention of a two-state existence, the state of Israel and the state of Palestine. The questions that we have to ask is Palestinians a legitimate nationalistic people? That's a question we have to ask. When Palestinians make the claim that we are Palestinians and the land of Palestine is ours and Israel is an invading horde and does not belong there, this is our land. Is that legitimate? Is that right? What does history tell us about that? It's worth looking into, because this is where it's become very polarized and it begins to play on the sympathies and the emotions of people. And so does Palestinians with their own state have a right to be a state and to exist in this? Now, Israel, historically, even to this day, has made concessions for peace that the Palestinians, Hamas particularly, is not willing to negotiate, not willing to talk about these things. If Palestine was ever a government, if it was ever a state, if it was ever a sovereign people operating as a sovereign nation, then there has to be historical documentation to back this up. And the questions that we should ask ourselves, and I would lay out for you to explore and to ask these questions, the first one would be, when was it founded? And who was its founder? What were its borders? Because every sovereign state or country has particular borders. What was its capital? What were its major cities? What was its form of government? What was the name of its currency? Choose any date in history. What was the approximate exchange rate of the Palestinian monetary unit compared to the U.S. dollar or the German mark or the British pound or the Japanese yen? And if it was a proud nation, what was it proud of? What did it belong to? What was it? And the truth is, there was never an Arab country known as Palestine. It never existed. There were Arabs that lived in these Palestinian regions of an area of the Middle East called Palestine. Many reasons people speak of why it's called Palestine. Some say, and a majority of people say, that it was named Palestine to insult Israel in regards to the ancient Philistines as an effort to insult them. The Palestinian Arabs were never a nation. The truth is, Jerusalem was never the capital of any Arab state or province. And the truth is that in all of recorded history, only one people have ever made a country called Palestine a sovereign nation state with Jerusalem as its capital, and that is Israel. In all of history, it is Israel. This is very interesting, but according to a travel guide to Palestine and Syria published in 1906, when the Islamic Ottoman Empire ruled the region, the Muslim population in Jerusalem was minimal. The total population of Jerusalem in 1906 was approximately 60,000. There were 7,000 Muslims, 13,000 Christians, and 40,000 Jews living in Jerusalem. This effort to make Palestine a state is a radical Islamic issue to annihilate the Jewish people. They have never relented on their desire to do this. And again, as far as the Palestinians having a sovereign nation in a land of Palestine, we have to only go back even a few hundred years through history to understand they never ruled this area. This area was ruled by Rome, by Islamic and Catholic crusaders who fought over it constantly, the Ottomans, the Turks, and the British, until the end of World War II, when the British, along with other allied nations, were determined to allow Israel to become a sovereign state again at the end of World War II. And Israel, from that point on, began to rule in this particular part of the world. The Arabs, calling themselves Palestinians, are actually occupying Israel's land according to the borders that God has drawn out. It's not the other way around. But even outside of the Bible, the UN in 1920 intended that the West Bank would be part of the Jewish state and Jewish homeland. But Jordan seized it, and it ensued into a battle with Israel called the 1967 War. And in this war, somehow, miraculously, Israel prevailed over Jordan. And when Israel prevailed over Jordan in the 67 war, Israel conquered this land that the UN had even deeded to it. But in an effort for peace, Israel began to concede this property inch by inch, mile by mile, little by little, back to Muslims, Islamic extremists, and they would use these pieces of ground that Israel was conceding back to them for peace to launch warfare and rockets against Israel, where Israel would have to defend herself. I think it was in 2005, by an order of the then president of Israel, that all Israelis in Gaza would be exiled from Gaza. They were the ones that were forcibly by Israel removed from their homes in Gaza in an effort to make peace with the Palestinians. And basically at that time, Hamas, in order for peace. And so these Israeli homes that the Israelis built and lived in, they had to leave. Our president and our government was putting pressure on the Israeli leader to do that. And when we were exiling, or through Israel, was exiling its own people by the hundreds of thousands, we were going through Katrina, and millions were being disturbed throughout the Southeast. And God says in His Word, that if you divide my land, I will judge you. And if you look, and Bill Koenig has a book on this, Eye for an Eye. It's an amazing book. He parallels whenever the United States was involved in manipulating Israel to give up land or to concede something for peace. Bill Koenig, he documents that what we were demanding Israel to do, we were going through catastrophic problems in the United States as a direct result. It happened every time. There was no way that it could be a coincidence. You can buy that book. You can look at it and you can see it for yourself. So the more Israel gave to her enemies, the greater the attacks and the bloodshed came against Israel, just as God had warned. And history reveals that the land conquered by Israel in 67 was never under the control of a people known as Palestinians. No people ever existed before 1967. The land was passed through these governing bodies that I already mentioned. Rome, the Crusaders, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire. And in 1878, the conditions became so hard in particular areas of the world that Algerians, Egyptians, Turks, Kurds, and Bosnians fled for safety into these desert regions. And at the end of World War II, the British and the Americans, along with allies, supported the formation of the State of Israel. And basically left Israel to herself. The Arab nations declared that the day Israel declares herself a sovereign state, she will be swarmed by 30 million or more Arab armies, or number of army, to bring her absolute destruction. Israel had basically no protection from Britain, no protection from the United States. Historically, it actually looks like a global setup to once and for all do away with the Jews. But God. That's the only explanation. But God. Against 30 plus million soldiers coming to annihilate Israel. They sent a message to all of the people living in this area called Palestine, which was composed of Arabs and these refugees from the various African nations and places of that nature. They told them, we're invading when Israel declares herself a state. And for your own safety, flee that area. Once we conquer Israel once and for all, you can come back. But they weren't able to conquer Israel. And their status as refugees was not because Israel drove them out. Their status as refugees was because the Arab nations told them to leave until after we defeat Israel, then you can come back. But they didn't defeat Israel, and there's no Arab country that wants these radicals. They will not open their doors to them. Egypt doesn't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. Syria doesn't want them. They don't want them in their countries. And so this is a mounting problem that is going on in the Middle East. And very, very few people are even interested to look at the history of this. That's why I'm trying to spell it out for you tonight. Just a little bit of the history that you might understand. You can go check these things out for yourself. This is history. And you can look at it and you can understand it. In an article called The Islamist, written October 20th, 2023, this is the doctrine of Hamas. Since its creation in December 1987, Hamas has spearheaded a Sunni extremist movement committed to destroying Israel. Quote, jihad is its path, and death for the sake of Allah is the loftiest of its wishes. Hamas said in its first statement in the late 1980s, predominantly funded by Iran, trained and funded the Hamas militants since the 1980s for the purpose of the oppression and opposition to Israel. In December 2012, one of its leaders from Hamas made this statement. The state will come from resistance. The state, the Palestinian state. It will come from resistance, not negotiation. Liberation first, then statehood. Palestine is ours. This was back in 2012. Palestine is ours from the river to the sea. What you hear chanted so much on college campuses. And from the south to the north, there will be no concession on any inch of land. We will never recognize the legitimacy of the Israeli occupation. And therefore, there is no legitimacy for Israel to exist. We will free Jerusalem inch by inch, stone by stone. Israel has no right to be in Jerusalem. They're not going to come to the table and make concessions. Israel, numbers of times, in good faith, has only to pay in its blood for its effort at peace. And this continues to go on. The Hamas Islamic declaration is Israel is an illegal entity, and no amount of pressure can force us to recognize its right to exist. We say to the West, by Allah, you will be defeated. That's us. That's not Israel. That's America and Britain. You will be defeated. They're on our soil now. They're using our kids now. You will be defeated in Palestine. And your defeat there has already begun. True, it is Israel that is being defeated there. But when Israel is defeated, its path is defeated. Those who call to support it are defeated. And the cowards who hide behind it and support it are defeated. Israel will be defeated. And so will whoever supported it or supports it. Tomorrow, our nation will sit on the throne of the world. This is not a figment of our imagination. This is a fact. That's the Hamas doctrine, that Palestinian doctrine. And so we're going to turn gears just a little bit. I just wanted to kind of lay that out, study it yourself, understand it. I pray to God our young people will understand it because they're after our young people and the minds of our young people. But the nations are on a collision course with God. If the United States does not stand correctly, we will not escape his judgment. And we're in it now. We're in it. We're suffering from it. And I want you to read with me in 2 Samuel some comments of God, okay? I'm just going to give you the word for a few moments tonight. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 22. Now just listen to this. If you don't love the Bible, you don't believe the Bible, I don't know what to do to help you. 2 Samuel 7, 22. Wherefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you. Neither is there any God beside you. According to all that we have heard with our ears, and what one nation in the earth is like your people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for him a people to himself and to make him a name. and to do for you great things and terrible for your land, before your people, which you redeemed to you from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For you have confirmed to yourself your people Israel to be a people unto you forever. How long? Don't let some Christian smart person try to tell you the church has replaced Israel. This is a people to God forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, to establish it forever and do as thou hast said. Very powerful thing. In Isaiah 43, turn there quickly and just read this confession of the Lord regarding the nation of Israel. Isaiah 43. The Bible teaches us here, this is the declaration of God. He says in verse 8, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. That is going to happen. And let the people be assembled. That is going to happen. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. God says specifically to the nation of Israel, you're my witness. If anybody ever comes to you and says, give me proof that God exists, Israel. Explain her existence apart from an almighty God, Israel. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed, and there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yes, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work. Who's going to stop me? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. If you get rid of Israel, you get rid of this God. Satan knows that. Why does he want to destroy Israel? You destroy her God, who has invested his very name in her existence. That's why there's this demonic hate of Israel, because it's God. And certainly those nations that would help Israel survive, Satan would absolutely despise them. Verse 21 of Isaiah 43 says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. And what I pray that will happen is, by you understanding this, you can watch the news now with a different set of eyes. You can see God. You can watch what God is doing. You can rest assured. Even if all the nations of the world turn their backs on Israel, you can rest assured this is going to be really, really good. Because now God's just about to do something that only God can do and nobody can take credit. And that's going to happen in Ezekiel's war. That's going to take place. And so this is going on. And I kind of want to come to a conclusion with this. And we're going to go to three more scriptures. This one's in Ezekiel 36. Please turn there. We're coming to this finish. In Ezekiel 36, I want you to see this, because to me it sounds so much like today. And I am going to show these two little videos to you in just a second. If you start dimming the lights, that'd be good. Leave these spotlights on so I can read. Ezekiel 36, verse 1. Also, you son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. I read that to you. That's in their doctrine. That's what they said. Israel has no right to Jerusalem. That's what they said. It's ours. We will possess it. That's what they said. God's prophesying that. You think God's surprised with what's going on? You think he's worried? Therefore, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. And you are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people. And that word infamy means you're a reproach and you're a shameful criminal. And our president, a couple of days ago, spoke in regards to Israel right now as being criminal. Israel is suffering incredible reproach right now. And God knew it was going to happen. And he says, therefore, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers. I love that. From the river to the sea. Let them chant what they want. God's already spoken. And to the valleys and to the desolate waste and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen. Idumea is Esau and his descendants, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with the spiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains, to the hills, to the rivers, to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, tremendous, I have lifted up my hand. I could picture God sitting on his throne. What's going on today? And I could picture the jealousy of God raging, and I could picture his fury, and he's just lifting that hand. Oh, God, get ready. He's lifted his hand. Surely the heathen that are round about you, they shall bear their shame. They're messing with God. The nations are messing with God. And I think this is very, very serious. And I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures in Revelation 16. And I want you to see this with me. The title of this message is Believing the Frogs. And in Revelation 16, and I don't believe we're at this place yet, but it's coming. But the spirit of it is at work. And John said in Revelation 16, verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, listen, which go forth. I just want you to get the picture of this. They go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And in the future, this demon influence is going to gather the nations of the world, verse 16, to a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Chapter 19, verse 19 gives us this scene. And I saw the beast, which is the Antichrist, And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. This is at Armageddon. Jesus returns from heaven on a horse with the armies of heaven with him to deliver Israel from her destruction, because he is jealous for his people, and to judge the heathens and to judge the nations that came against Israel. And I'm talking about tonight believing the frogs, the spirit that is going to pull the people together to come against Israel. That is a very real prophecy of a very real moment in time in the future still. It's not happening yet. But the spirit of that demon of Satan is at work in the earth right now. I want to show the longest video first, but please just try to stop it after about 2 minutes and 55 seconds, something like that, because it just gets redundant. I don't have pleasure in showing this to you, but I'm shocked at how few people grasp the significance of what's happening in our nation. And you see the spirit that is at work today. This is a unique day. This is not like Vietnam protests. This is Israel protest. This is so contrary to sanity that it's almost unbelievable and unconscionable if we did not actually have video documentation of things that are going on. So if you will run that, please. We're just going to watch for a couple of minutes.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
That means the annihilation of Jews.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
one people united will never be divided. When I heard that, it bring the lights back just a little bit. When I heard that, I just immediately thought of the Tower of Babel, about how the demonic spirit of Antichrist moving even back then in Genesis 11 was moving in a spirit of one people united, speaking one language that would be able to defy God. And God said whatever they imagined or thought they would be able to accomplish. When I heard that chant, one people united will never be divided. It was just like, not that all these people are demon possessed, but I could just hear the spirit of Satan just bringing that challenge into the world. And guys, I want you to understand that this is not a choice. And I want to hold you responsible to this. This is not a choice between Israel and Palestine. God has declared himself the God of Israel. It is a choice between standing with God and his eternal covenant and his promises with Abraham, David, the Levitical priesthood, everything that he's promised that's eternal, and standing against that and to chant from the river to the sea. It means, and I read it to you, it means the annihilation of the Jewish people. It means their absolute extermination. There should be no confusion in you as to what is going on. Very simply, the contest that is mounting between God and Satan. And God is going to draw the nations of the world against Israel and against Jesus. And the spirit of that is already at work. This last little video is very short. Before I show it, I said here Sunday night in the prayer meeting, and perhaps it was somewhat prophetic, because after I said it, someone said, "Did you see this video from Harvard?" And I said, "No, I didn't." And after I said this, I spoke with some pastors at a breakfast yesterday, and I said this to them, and they affirmed as well that they're hearing these reports. Our kids that grew up in church, in a massive movement in America, are joining Islam. It's happening everywhere. The Christian church and Christian parents have been so negligent to teach their children, to ground them in the Word of God. They don't even really know themselves. That they have allowed a vacuum to be in the minds of their kids, and demonic thought is filling it. I would even ask you the question, how many of you, and I don't care how old your kids are, how many of us have sat with our kids and said, "Now I want to explain this to you. I want you to know what's happening. I want you to know what God says. I want you to know what the Word says." And I pray to God I'm helping you tonight to give you some information and to give you some scriptures and to give you some grounding so you can take this, you can study it, you can teach it, and you can protect your family, your kids, your grandkids, people that you have influence with. This video is on the campus of Harvard. These are our future senators. These are our future, maybe a president, maybe a Supreme Court justice, our lawyers, our attorneys, movers and shakers in the world. This is Harvard. This is a massive indoctrination into Islam. And I want you to see the hundreds of American kids that probably grew up in church in a worship service to Allah. And you're going to see these guys look like us. I mean, they're not migrants in this country. They look like us. If you'd show this really quick. I think there's sound if you got it.
Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
Allah.
And if you silence it for me, I just would say, how many of you would go to a church like that if it was Christian, where it's just like so uncomfortable, so outside, so boring? What is attracting these young people to go there to participate in that? They're being drawn by this spirit of frogs. They're believing frogs over the Holy Ghost, frogs over the Word of God. Are you preparing your heart? Do you think that you are vulnerable or invulnerable to this? Satan deceived a third of the angels. And that's why I appeal to you with all of my heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to combat the spirit that is working in the world. Guys, that is taking our kids that grew up in church and turning them into Muslims in America. Everything we have been constitutionally, religiously, has crumbled before us at a pace that I don't think any of us could keep up with. And the only thing that's going to combat this is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of God. If you just turn the lights back on a little bit, you can take that off. And I say that to us tonight because last Sunday night we had a prayer meeting. It was an incredible prayer meeting. A lot of spiritual warfare, praying over our kids, praying over our families, and praying for Israel. And I want you to honestly know that I want to be a faithful pastor to you. I want you to understand. I want to arm you. I want to equip you with information, with scriptures, with knowledge. But apart from the Holy Spirit, you have no protection. You have no protection. You need the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to stand. Because I believe quickly approaching in America, those that believe the word and stand for the word are going to pay a very dear price. Tonight, because of what I've said and because I streamed this all over the world, who knows the price I might be called upon to pay for saying what I said tonight. But so be it. I magnify the God of Israel. And I want you to be protected. I want you to be bold. I want you to be strong. I want you to know the truth so that you can stand up for it. I want you to challenge people who say that Palestine has a right to be a nation, and or challenge people when they say that Israel is the colonist and they have made the refugees. I want you to challenge that. I want you to know why you can challenge that, to help people to understand, because most people have no clue what they're doing or what it's about. Let's pray for just a moment. And I would invite you to just really get a hold of God right now and your mind, because it's a demon. It's a demonic thing that's moving. And that you would ask the Holy Spirit to just give you the mind of Christ. Would you just begin to pray for yourself right now? Just to pray for the mind of Christ. Would you just begin to pray for the Spirit of God to guide you? The Bible says, Jesus said, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. Ask him for that. You really need him. Would you ask God to give you the authority and the confidence and the boldness to stand up for the God of Israel? I'm not saying that we go around and declare that Israel is a moral people. Right now they're not. But they are the people of God. And we don't want to stand against God. I don't want God to raise his hand against me, against my nation. I want to live in such a way that we can stand against this dark movement, stand against Islam, stand against Allah, and bring people to Jesus Christ. I believe a lot of these kids that were in these services worshiping Allah are going to come to Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe that they're going to have an awakening and understand the difference from the light and the darkness. And I pray tonight that we do. And I would ask you to pray for Israel tonight, to pray for Israel's leadership tonight. I would ask you to pray for our president, our government, our leaders, that the manipulation they face to be pro-Palestinian would not take root in them, but they would have the fear of God to honor the word of God, to make decisions in the fear of God that would bring blessings upon our life, upon Israel, upon our nation. Would you pray for yourself that you would once again have a hunger for the word of God, to study it, to know it, that you might know the truth? You don't have to go to the news to get your truth. You go to the word, you go to God to get your truth. You understand what the Lord says? We worship you tonight, Lord. There is no God like you. There is no king like you. You created Israel, and you are its king. And the only way Israel can be overthrown is if the king is overthrown, and you cannot be overthrown. You have spoken in your jealousy, and that gives us peace because we know the outcome. We are confident. We worship you tonight, and we know that it is your desire to see people saved. As we started in Psalm 83, your actions are for the benefit of people's salvation, that they might know you are Jehovah. That's what you're doing. You're doing things so that the world will know you're Jehovah. So right now we pray for Muslims. We pray for radicals. We pray for terrorists. We pray for them. We pray that you deliver them from the darkness that they're in. God, we pray that you would free their minds from deception, from the voices of devils, that you would free them from hate and from anger, that you would give them forgiveness and tenderness, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would send the gospel to them. And Lord, if the gospel finds a difficult path to them, give them dreams of the night that Jesus is Lord. And let them be saved. Come on, pray for the Muslims. Pray for Hamas. Pray for the Palestinians. Pray for the Arabs. They need Jesus too. He wants them as much as he wants anybody. Oh, he loves them. Can you believe for the harvest tonight? Can you believe that God is able? Pray for our kids. Pray for our generation. Pray for our young people.